Hey everyone! Today I am so excited to announce our very first guest, Michaela Mayer. The LA native started boxing at the age of 16, and now at age 27, she is an Olympic boxer turned pro. She finished one victory shy of a medal at the Rio 2016 Olympics. She is a three-time US national champion, four-time national Golden Glove champion, two-time continental champion, world bronze medalist, Olympic trials gold medalist, 2016 Olympian, and is now the first female to sign with Top Rank Promotions and is debuting this August 5th in her hometown. Can I get a heck yes? This inspiring woman has been living at the Olympic Training Village for the past 2 years, and we are so honored that she has taken a few moments from her crazy schedule to talk to us. All right, everyone. So today we are talking to Michaela. Hi, Michaela.
Hi, Holly. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Thank you so much for finally connecting. So we'll just get right on into it. We just heard your bio. So considering we have listeners from all over the world and all climates and ways of life, give us a little glimpse into your day-to-day routine as an Olympian, pro boxer, and a beautiful fitness girl.
Okay, well, currently, I'm kind of in a huge transition right now. So let me just start off about where I was before I made the switch. I've been competing for Team USA on Team USA for maybe the last 5 or 6 years. My goal, since I was 16 years old, was to make the Olympic team for women's USA boxing. Mm-hmm. And 2 years ago, I won the U.S. Olympic team trials in October of 2015, and when I won that, they moved me here to the Olympic Training Center. So there's multiple different sports here, but basically everything you need to compete at the highest level is what the Olympic Training Center provides for you. So we're training 2 to 3 times a day. We live in like dorm-style apartments with our teammates. We wake up. We have a full cafeteria where great food is accessible to us the entire day. We start off with strength and conditioning in the morning. We have our conditioning training after that, and then our boxing training in the evening. So it's really vigorous and intense training, but like I said, it's an environment that allows you to really focus, and you don't have to, I haven't had to have a job. I haven't had to worry about, you know, outside distraction, you know, family and all that stuff that comes with day-to-day life. So it was a real privilege living here and getting to really zone in and focus on competing for the Olympics. Now I just recently signed a pro contract with Top Rank, so I will no longer be representing Team USA and fighting with and for them. And my pro debut is coming up on August 5th. So training still stays the same. I mean, I'm going to be training 2 to 3 times a day, just as hard. It's just a little different. Whereas before, I was traveling the world. I was in a new country every other month fighting girls from other countries, and it was a lot of fun. We'd fight 5 days in a row, tournament style brackets, and now it's just a little different. Now I'll be going from fighting 5 times a week to 5 times a year, so just a little bit different, but still just as intense.
Yeah, so that's all amazing. I just want to touch on a couple things there. So you're in, where is the training facility?
The Olympic Training Center is in Colorado Springs.
Awesome. And so then how many teammates do you have that you train with it every day?
Well, there's only 3 Olympic weights for women in boxing. So there's only 3 of us girls that live here. The men's team comes in and out to train all the time. So that gives us a little bit more of a team to travel with and work with. But there's only 3 Olympic weight classes for women. We were only allowed into the Olympics in 2012, despite boxing being one of the first Olympic sports ever. So they only let us come in 2012, and they gave us 3 weight classes.
Oh, wow. And so where are the other 2 girls from?
The other 2 girls, one is from Houston and the other one is from Ohio. The one from Houston is Jenny Fuchs. I mean, if you follow me on social media, she's all over it. She's my best friend. I mean, we met each other at one of our first national tournaments, maybe 8 years ago, 9 years ago. And we've had this journey together. We made the Olympic team together. So it's been pretty awesome.
Yeah. That's nice to find a friend.
Yeah.
Awesome. So then your transition, was that a really difficult transition to make from Olympics?
Yeah, it was a really big decision, like internally for me, because I struggled because I competed in Rio, but I didn't get my medal. I lost in the quarterfinals on a split decision to Russia. But I gained so much experience over these last few years, qualifying for the Olympics and traveling and all these training camps with these other nations. And I know that if I stayed for Tokyo that I could win my gold medal, but it's 4 years away. I'm 27 this year. As a fighter, your window is kind of small. When you have an opportunity, you got to take it. You know, I can't do this forever. So this opportunity came to me and it was a great opportunity. It was the best promotion in the world behind me. And this promotion doesn't sign women. Big promoters don't sign women. It's kind of like a new era. I'm the first woman that Top Rank has signed. So it was a huge honor for them to come to me and want to work a deal with me and want to grow women's boxing through me.
That's so cool. I know we'll touch on it a little bit later, so we will get back to that. But touching on your fitness philosophy and what you do each day to train, do you have any like set training styles that you follow? Do you have a coach with you every session? Is Monday through Friday pretty status quo every week? And then Saturday and Sunday, do you get any rest days? How does that look for you?
So boxing is it's a lot of repetition. So we got to find ways to kind of mix it up and change things. But I mean, I always say, people say practice makes perfect, but perfect practice makes perfect.
Yeah,
so with boxing, it's repetition. You can throw the right hand a million times, but if you're not throwing it right, then you're not really doing anything for your skill and for your growth. So it's a very touchable sport, and that's one of the reasons why I love it so much. It's challenging in that way. But yeah, for the most part, 2 to 3 times a day, it's kind of repetitive. It kind of gets like, you know, by your third, fourth, fifth week of training camp, you're kind of like, okay, kill me. Let me just get on this plane, go fight. I'm ready to fight.
Yeah. So that's what it is. It's 4 to 5 weeks and then you're off to fight.
Yeah. That's usually about how long our training is. 4 to 6 weeks, I'd say.
Wow. And so what about your nutrition? How do you fuel between the fights and then gearing into a fight? Do you do something when you're getting really close to a fight? Do you take a little bit of an off season and try to gain weight in between the fights? Or
yeah, so the thing with boxing is kind of like a year-round sport. We don't really have an off season. We compete all year long. So, but there are times. So in the beginning of my camp, I'll really focus heavily on lifting and trying to build muscle mass and gain strength. And, you know, then I'll pick up the cardio towards the end. And when I'm trying to lean out, get my weight down. So there's times for that, just like any sport or any athlete. You definitely have times for your weight gain and lifting and strength and cardio. And so it varies. But Living at the Olympic Training Center has been awesome because they have this cafeteria that's open from 7 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. every day. And it's awesome food accessible to you, so we can just go in there and refuel as we need. And I do kind of miss having a kitchen and cooking because I enjoy eating healthy and I enjoy doing stuff like that. But it's been really awesome because, like I said, it's just another tool that you have to really perform at the highest level.
Awesome. Do you supplement at all?
You know, I don't do a lot of supplements. I do a multivitamin. I do a protein. When you're competing for the Olympics, you're under really strict testing. And so obviously there's supplements out there that are NSF certified.
Yeah.
And those are the ones I would use. But I got so used to just being tested all the time and being on that regimen that I try to get like the most I can out of my foods.
Yeah. And so then that's just intuition, or do you have someone that, cause I'm so used to the bodybuilding world where it's like, okay, well you do this much protein, this much carbohydrates, this much fats. Is it just intuitive for you, or do you have a coach that kind of lays that out for you?
No. Yeah. So it's not as strict. I don't have a super, super strict diet, which a lot of like weightlifters and like you said, bodybuilding, it'd be a lot more specific and strict. It's a weight sport. So I do have to watch it as I get closer to a tournament. Obviously, I, just like anyone, I'll cut down the carbs. I tried to get my gallon of water a day to flush everything out. Stick to mostly vegetables and protein diet as I'm trying to lean out. But it's nothing too specific. I don't count my calories. I kind of just got good at doing it visually.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. And you need the power and the strength. So you need to kind of know what works for you instead of just what works on paper, right?
Right. Yeah. And I'm really not like, I'm not in the gym trying to sculpt my body and do stuff like that. I'm really just in there for, obviously we have technical days and we have days to fuel and be performing. So if I know that I have to go 6 rounds of sparring that day, obviously I'm going to fuel up on some carbs before. And then maybe like chill out for the rest of the day with the carbs. So it's just more performance based than,
absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
Cool. So you're pretty much at the height of your athletic career right now, but there's no sign of you slowing down, and you're just clearing the way for girls that are following and looking up for you. So what are the key factors that have contributed to your success to this day?
I think that I've just always been the type to remember to persevere. I mean, I haven't always been the best. I wasn't always ranked number one. I didn't always win every single fight. And there was big fights that I lost that really just, or big fights that I won and then followed by a big loss. And then, so you're just on these highs and lows, like a roller coaster of emotions. And you can be on a low and you kind of let that keep you down and knock you down and make you feel insecure and like you can't do it. Or you can just get your ass back in the gym, keep going and get back up on that high. So, and then eventually, you know, after all that hard work pays off and it's not such a roller coaster anymore. You're not going up and down and through all these emotions, but I think definitely everyone on their way to the top, they have to go through that. There's definitely some Michael Phelps out there who just never lose and always have been number one, but that's just not the case for everybody. And you don't have to be that way to be a successful. Like I've failed. I went out for the 2012 Olympic team trials and lost in the finals of Olympic trials. And I could have quit there because I had 4 years from another chance, or I could have just sucked it up and every day for the next 4 years believe that I can make it happen the next time. And that's what I had to do.
Did you know right away that it was like, no, there's no quitting in me? Or did you ever have like just this little moment of, I give up, I can't do it?
No, I mean, I'm in the room to get tested by USADA, the drug testing after 2012 trials, and I was crying. And I think I really felt like my nose was broken. I got headbutted. I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, "Well, whatever. I'm going to 2016." There was just no doubt in my mind because I just knew I had so much more to learn, and I just believed in myself that much. Like, it didn't matter where I was at that moment, I knew I had the potential to get where I wanted to be.
That's amazing. In the past, what if anything has stood in your way from going after your dreams? And like, has there been any struggles, or what has been the biggest triumph that you've had to this day?
I would think that story that I just told you, you know, just picking yourself up. I could have been, after 2012, it could have been like, okay, this is it. This got in the way of my dreams. Olympics are another 4 years away. I don't have time for that. I can't do it. No, I don't have the energy. But I didn't, you know, it's not the end until you say it's the end. So I just kept going. And 4 years later, I made it. So it was all worth it. And even in the 2016 Olympic trials, it's a double elimination. And my number one opponent there, like my toughest opponent who I knew was going to give me the biggest competition, I fought her the second day and I beat her. And then she fought her way back into the finals. And I lost. I didn't get the decision. So whoever, we had to fight for the third time the following day. And whoever won that fight was going to make the Olympic team. So there was so much pressure on me. And I felt like, oh my God, I'm right back where I was in 2012. I can't believe this is happening. Like, I really felt defeated. And I had to like I just remember sitting in my hotel room and my boyfriend was like sitting there like, you better like smack it. You better pull yourself together. Like, this isn't over. You have tomorrow. You're going to go in there and you're going to fight this girl and the best you can, you're going to win it. And it was like a mental game at that point.
Yeah.
So I just told myself, you know, I care so much that I don't care anymore. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to go do the best that I can do. And that's all I can ask for myself. And I kind of just took the pressure away from the situation. And I had my best fight of the tournament and beat her soundly. And it was great.
Amazing. So,
definitely becomes a mental game at some point.
Oh yeah. I think always.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So then question, before 2012, so you said it just became an Olympic sport in 2012, correct?
Yeah.
So then, back when you got into the sport, what was your ultimate goal if you couldn't be in the Olympics?
Well, my goal, I started with Muay Thai and then, I was dabbling in MMA. So I was really thinking that I was going to go the MMA route. And even when I was just boxing, I was like, okay, I'm going to get good enough and I'm going to turn pro. And then they announced that they were going to let women into the Olympics in 2012. And my dad was like a huge supporter of me. Like, I don't know why. Like I sucked and he still thought I was like the most awesome thing ever. And I'm like, Dad, should I go for the Olympics? He's like, yeah, let's do it. Let's go for the Olympics. I'm like, okay.
That's awesome.
So it was like just such a random idea. And anybody at the time was like, I mean, I remember a really kind of a story that kind of just stuck with me forever. I was in line getting ready to weigh in at one of my first tournaments, and some guy comes up to the line, all these girls that are getting ready to weigh in, they're like, you guys, girls, there's no future for you in the sport. You need to go to school, be a scientist, be a lawyer, be something like that. Like, there's nothing for you here. And I just remember thinking, like, I can see why you would say that, but that's not the case for me. Like, I felt like I was going to do something different.
Wow, that's awesome. Because yeah, that kind of stuff sticks with you and kind of pushes you forward too.
Yeah.
Awesome. So where did you get your start into becoming the Olympic level professional athlete and brand that you have become? So if you started with Muay Thai and were thinking MMA, how did you just automatically fall in love with it? Or did you just
So it just started with a simple decision to literally walk into this Muay Thai kickboxing gym that I saw, that I drove by that by my house for years. And I'd always been in sports growing up, but there was just that time in high school I wasn't doing much. And I was like, I feel like I could be doing more with my life. I feel like I've meant more for this. I was in my fourth high school at the time. Like, I was being kicked out of school. Uh-huh. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to walk into the gym. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to sign myself up and try something new. And I did. I just pulled the last $100 out of my bank account, which is what it costs to sign up. And there was only two girl classes a week, but I asked the coach, I'm like, can I just come to the guys' classes too? And he's like, yeah, I mean, if you feel dedicated enough, that's what you want to do, definitely come to the guys' classes. So I went from going twice a week to going 6 days a week, and then not wanting to go out on Friday nights because I wanted to get up Saturday morning and train. And I just became so ambitious and so hungry to become like good at something. Like, the challenge of just getting better and better at this just moved me. Like, I just wanted to be there every day. So even though I started with Muay Thai, my coach at the time wanted me to take boxing fights just to kind of get my hands more well-rounded. And then just being in the fight scene, there was MMA surrounding that whole world. But when they announced that they were going to let women into the Olympics for boxing, I think that's just really what caught my attention.
Yeah. There was the opportunity.
Yeah. There was a big challenge there. And I've just always kind of been drawn to really ridiculously big goals that seem really impossible.
That's the way to do it. How do you continue to invest in yourself to be the lead in this industry?
I definitely just put myself first. I make lists all the time. I think, like, what can I do every day to make myself better? Like, I care about my family, I care about my friends, and I try to give back, but like, you really do, you have to put you and your goals and your dreams first. Like, you have to give back and love yourself and do as much as you can for yourself, because that's the only way you're going to be able to give back to the people you really care about in the end. So I think, like, the most important thing in life is to have a passion. And if you're, like, passionate about something and you have something that gets you up every day and you know why you're getting up every day and what your goal is, that's the meaning of life for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can sit here and, like, debate what's the meaning of life, but it's really just internal. And if you have something that you're passionate about and something that drives you to just kind of like kick ass and knock down barriers, then I mean, that's the best feeling in the world to me.
Yeah, like, you sound like you have such, like, a positive outlook, and that is so important when you are in a mental sport. Do you do any, like, self mental practice or, like, self care, or do you have a routine that you just swear by that you just get up and you do it and you know that your day is going to be awesome because of it?
You know, nothing really specific. I try to do different. I spend a lot of time in nature. I really do. Like I have two dogs, and I think being in nature is like so important for the mind. And we can be sitting here like obsessed in our phones and obsessed on the internet and just engaging with people all the time. But I think you got to take a break from that and just get out and like connect with the world outside of technology.
Awesome. So yeah, you do get downtime to go out and adventure and.
Well, that's what I love about my job is that I train a lot, but then, I mean, I could be sitting at a desk for 8 hours a day, or I could be in and out of the gym 2-3 times a day and going on hikes in between and practicing new recipes in the kitchen. And like, I mean, I feel like I have a lot of freedom in my life, even though I like have to train all the time and work really hard. It's not really hard for me because I enjoy it, obviously. So I'm doing something that I love. And then I have free time. Like I have like freedom in my training. I have freedom in my career because it's based around what I feel is important.
Awesome.
So it's kind of a really cool job.
Yeah, absolutely. I am a big fan of hiking. I live in British Columbia and I by getting outside every single day just to reconnect and like disconnect and just listen to nothing or listen to a great podcast. It's a great way to just kind of a way of meditating for me.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. It's hard for me to sit there and really meditate because I just get super distracted, but I can just go out and be barefoot in the sand and then I'm good.
Yeah. So what are a few tips and tricks that you follow to successfully prepare for a match? Are there certain things that you do right before you head out or something that you say to yourself or little things that you do leading up to other than like the hydration and cutting carbs?
Oh man, I just got so into the routine because like I said, we'd be in a new country every other month. So I am just so used to the routine. I could literally pack for an entire month in maybe 20 minutes. So I just got like so used to the routine that I have. But no, I really think that like my confidence going into a match and where I get that from is my training camp. So if I know that I didn't cut any corners and I worked my ass off and I did workouts that I didn't want to do and I was exhausted before I was ready to like recover, like I feel like if I did all those things right, then there's nothing to worry about. I don't need to go in a tournament super stressed or super anxious or, you know, all those nerves. And so that's how I control my nerves. There's always going to be nerves, but I know that if I had a good training camp and I'm confident in what I did and I didn't make excuses and I did the work, then like the rest is going to take care of itself.
Yeah. Awesome. I love that. What projects are you excited about right now other than the obvious? Or you can talk more about the obvious. What do you think that your brand looks like in 5 years from now?
Well, what I'm really just focused on right now is my pro debut. I leave for LA tomorrow and I'm fighting on the Lomachenko undercard LA Live next Saturday. So it's a big difference for me. I'm kind of used to fighting in random countries in front of maybe 2 or 3 dozen people. So no one really gets to see my fights. They're not televised. Don't do big press conferences. So it's a lot of work in between those Olympic years that no one really sees. But now this is all different. Now, I mean, I had to worry about just weird things. I had to worry about my fight uniform, my press conference uniform, my weigh-in uniform, my media workout uniform, like all these things I just never had to worry about before. And it's in the limelight. And there's so much more press and media around it, but that's what I wanted. That was the challenge that I wanted. I wanted to be in the limelight. I wanted to help grow women's boxing on a bigger stage. So that's what I'm just really looking forward to. I don't really know what to expect, so I kind of just excited to see what happens.
Absolutely. So it's more of a show. Do you think
it is? It's entertainment.
Yeah. So like more opportunities, more room to kind of create your brand and have like a longer lifespan in the sport, do you think?
Yeah, that's exactly one of the reasons why I decided to turn pro. I know that I want to make the most out of my career in the next 5 years, and I can stay with Team USA and people not really see the hard work that I put in and not really be able to cling on to those sponsors and other companies, because at the end of the day, what can I do for them? No, my fights aren't on TV. I don't really have a way to of media outreach because no one sees our fights. It's really hard to like follow my career. So I wanted a bigger stage where I can reel in those bigger sponsors, make a bigger impression on the public about that women can actually really box, mm-hmm. that we're entertaining, that we're talented. And this is my chance. And having a huge promoter like Top Rank kind of believe in me and back me is a huge honor, and it's a huge opportunity. So I kind of have like a huge mission that I need to focus on in on. It's not really just about me. It's about women's boxing in general, and creating a platform for them so that younger women who are boxing don't have to be told that there's no future for you in the sport. There's no way to have a career in the sport. That when they grow older, they can this and they fall in love with boxing the way I did. There's an actual lucrative career available to them
if they're good. Yeah, and that's important to not just do it for nothing. Obviously, you want to make a career out of it, and to make a career out of it, you have to make income.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's a new thing. It's a new era. There's a handful of women who have Olympians and Olympic medalists who are turning pro right now. So, I think it's just the right time, and we see what we can do for the sport.
And so, do you know who you're fighting on August 5th?
I know her name. I don't know anything about her. I haven't even seen any video on her. There just wasn't any, but I'm used to that. I mean, I'm used to just being thrown into a bracket and fighting random girls that they put in front of me. So,
I
don't know much about her.
Okay. So then, when you're training, you just train generally. So then you don't train specific to the opponent.
Well, a lot of pros will. They'll get tape on their fight, and then for that 4 to 6 week training camp, they know exactly who they're fighting. They know the game plan, blah, blah, blah. I am used to not doing that because we go to a country and they put us in a bracket and we don't know who we're going to fight. So we don't get to train specifically for one person. And I think that is giving me an advantage because it's made me very experienced and learning how to adjust and adapt very quickly. And then, so I just like to focus now on what I'm doing right. So if I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing, everything's going to go smoothly. I don't want to focus really on what they're doing. When I get into the later rounds and the bigger fights, then I'll be able to study my opponents. But for now, I'm just trying to get my record up there and take whoever they throw at me.
Awesome. So then lastly, what is the most must-have trait you look for in a partner?
I definitely think that they have to be. I mean, my life revolves around fitness, so they don't necessarily have to be a professional athlete, but I think that health and fitness has to be a top priority for them. My boyfriend now is a wrestler for Team USA, so.
Oh, wow. So then same passions and same.
Yeah, same passion. I mean, he lives here at the Olympic Training Center too. We knew each other before we were dating before we actually both lived here. We met in sports med at our old training facility up in Michigan. And then we both got spots available offered to us here at the Olympic Training Center. So it's just, we've kind of just been on the same journey, the same path, same, even though our goals are obviously slightly different. It's the same kind of mindset. So that's really great to have because life can just throw a lot of curveballs at you and can be very distracting. So to have someone who with similar interests and similar goals can just really help you keep you on the right track.
Absolutely. Awesome. So I've got a last Fit Girl 5. Just some fun things. Must have beauty product.
I absolutely need dry shampoo because I obviously sweat every day, but I'm a girl and I still care about girly things and I don't want to dry out my hair and I don't want to wash it every day. So dry shampoo, I only discovered it like a year and a half ago and I don't know why, but it's the best thing I've ever discovered.
It is. It like you can't wash your hair every day. It's not good for it.
Right.
Hallelujah. So what must have workout gear?
Well, I've been sponsored by Under Armour for the last 2 years and I am obsessed. Like I think a lot of athletes know, like I maybe you wear a normal bra like once a week, but then other than that, just constantly in Under Armour. So full closet, decked out, but I love it because I love workout. I don't want to just go to the gym in sweats every day. I want to feel cute and I want to feel like still like I'm a girl and I can get up and put on a cute matching sports bra and pants and feel good. So
yeah, I think you perform better when you feel like confident and look good.
Oh yeah. I literally won't want to work out if someone throws me in a t-shirt and baggy sweatpants. I mean, some people, they can do that. That's good. They like that. It's comfortable for them. For me, I'll be like, I can't work out like this. I'm not ready.
Yeah. There's no motivation there.
Yeah.
Your favorite app?
Instagram. I love Instagram.
Yeah. And it just keeps getting better.
Yeah, it is really great. It's fun too.
What's your Instagram handle?
At Michaela Mayer.
Cool.
Yes.
What's in your gym bag?
Oh, okay. Well, I got the basics, like my gloves, my hand wraps, my mouthpiece, and then I'll definitely have to sit there and clean it out once every 3 months because you just get a bunch of random stuff built up in there, like bills I probably should have opened a few weeks ago, and makeup and just a bunch of ridiculous things.
Just ready to go wherever, just a half, traveler.
Half-eaten protein bars. It's gross.
Bucket list adventure or travel destination?
Well, we travel a lot to Europe, and I'm not a big fan of Europe. I want to travel to places that are like tropical. I want to go to Costa Rica. I want to go to Australia. I want to be posted up on the beach with the coconut.
Yes. Nice. And a sixth question I just thought of. What all have you broken any bones? What all have you broken throughout your career?
I haven't broken a single bone. And here at the Olympic Training Center, they test you for everything. Like, it's great. We just do medicals and blood work, and they find out what you're deficient in, and it's awesome. But they tested my bone density, and bone density scale is like from 0 to 2. And 0 being the lowest, 2 being the highest. Mine's a 4. So my bones are so ridiculously strong that I don't think I can break them. I mean,
that's amazing. Yes, you're in the perfect sport then.
Yeah.
Wicked. Awesome. So any last notes or best way we can engage with you?
I'm big on social media. So follow me on Instagram at Michaela Mayer. I'm really trying to dive into the Twitter world more. It's like on my to-do list. But that's Michaela Mayer 1. Tweet me. I'll tweet you back. And stay up to date and follow my pro career. And if I'm in your area, definitely come check out one of my fights.
Oh my God. This is so amazing. I'm so appreciative that you took the time to talk to me before such a big event. And I cannot wait to follow your career. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.